I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, thanks for coming back to the Deliciously Stellar podcast. My name is Bella and I'm the mastermind behind the Instagram account, Deliciously Stellar. So in this podcast, I've been on a journey to get the glow. Today, I go cake decorating with the amazing Reshmi from Ange de Sucre.
The key to a delicious, deliciously stellar cake is loads of this deliciously smooth chocolate Oreo buttercream.
Goodness, so good. And model Lily Bailey chats to me about body image.
Models change in the weirdest places. I've changed in a bush, in the backs of cars. Like, it's really not this sort of glamorous airbrush life.
So I've just come from the gynaecologist. Don't be alarmed, I'm not going to tell you anything terrible. My gynaecologist is one of my favourite people in the world because I went to go and see him for the first time thinking absolutely nothing, and then I sort of left with my life changed forever. So I got referred to my gynaecologist by the doctor in Brixton, and I get there and I hear his voice and I realise that he's Scottish. And then he goes, "Younger, does the word lecky mean anything to you?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's actually my family estate. Why?" And he was like, "I think I know your grandparents." And then just before he opened my legs, he said, "Your granny's got a lovely fireplace." It was honestly one of the worst moments of my whole life. And I saw him again this morning. And every time I see him, he goes, "Oh, I was thinking about you the other day." I'm like, "Really? Why? Is that allowed?" And he was like, "Oh, I was driving past Garganach. And I remembered that time I saw your uncle's man trap." I'm like, "Oh yeah, of course, I forget. You see, my great uncle lives in a castle with a man trap in the dungeon." So like the idea of a man trap, I think, was that back in the day when you had sort of trespassers on your land, it was a bit like a bear trap and it would sort of like clamp on their leg, I think, or like around their middle. I haven't seen it for quite a long time. It got moved into a museum for obvious reasons. And once my gynecologist went round there, I don't know why, and my great-uncle Bobby put a piece of wood in the man trap and set it off. But yeah, also my gynecologist is really into ghosts. And he was saying that he used to live in the most haunted house in Scotland. And he never went up to the top floor because some Cromwellian soldier had murdered lots of children. And he said that when he went into my great-uncle Bobby's house, none of him or his brothers or sisters would go inside because they could feel all the spirits. But apparently my great-uncle Bobby was such a sort of eccentric loon, he hadn't noticed anything. This is the conversation I have with the man who looks after my reproductive, like, bits. This is like my patter while my legs are open, like, on a table. No one else has to endure that. No one else gets told about ghosts when they're having a smear. It's horrific. Hello, so I'm here with Reshmi from Ange de Sucre, the amazing cake company who invented the Deliciously Stellar cake.
Hello.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today. I'm so excited. It smells amazing.
Thanks for coming. I'm very excited too.
Everything smells so good. There is chocolate on the hob.
It's actually chocolate glaze. It's chocolate, even better, with butter.
Nothing is better than chocolate and butter. Nothing is better. I'm so excited. There are some absolutely amazing ingredients to go on the top as well.
And we've got buttercream. So it's actually chocolate buttercream with crushed Oreos and more butter.
I knew it was a good idea not to have lunch.
Whack that on. I'll put it on the plate though. As far as buttercreams go, you'll be interested to know it's actually healthier because it's less sugar and more butter.
Oh, so this is a healthy buttercream?
Yes. Totally.
But obviously sugar is the devil.
Sugar is the devil. Sugar is so unfashionable, so use less of it and use more butter. You know, butter's natural and creamy and just tastes delicious. Do you want to taste it?
Oh my god, this looks amazing. Oh my god, it's so good. That's so good.
It's
and it's healthy, right?
It's so healthy. It's 50% air and 20% egg white, which we know is the better part of the egg.
Yes.
And the rest is yum.
It's basically an omelette.
A frittata.
It's a frittata. Even healthier. Oh, so good.
And so now that we've got the buttercream ready and we've got sponges, cake sponges. So best of both worlds. Normally our best-selling cake, which is hashtag deliciously stellar, is two vanilla sponges with loads of cookie dough shoved into the sponge, chocolate chip cookie dough. But today, because we're living on the edge, we're going to have one chocolate sponge, one vanilla sponge, and we're going to shove cookie dough in both of them. And we're going to sandwich it with the buttercream, which has dark chocolate, which we know has loads of medicinal properties. Dark chocolate is the better chocolate. We're also going to decorate with these balls.
Tiny golden balls of joy.
Yes, taste them.
Mm.
You need more than just two. You need a handful.
Oh my goodness. What do they taste of?
Salted caramel.
Oh my god, they're so good. This is going to be the best cake of all time. I'm so pleased that it's my namesake as well.
We've got fudgy brownies.
Yep.
We've got chocolate fingers, Kinder Bueno, Milky Bars, Rolos, Kit Kats, Oreo cookies, Maltesers. Basically, the entire corner shop is going on this cake.
Well, corner shop food is locally sourced. I get all of my food from the corner shop.
Great. Well, shall we start decorating then?
Yes, I'm so ready.
That's the cookie dough I made earlier.
Wow,
as well.
So amazing.
It's eggless.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's eggless.
Vegan, then.
Well, it has butter, but if you ignored the butter, then yes.
We'll pretend the butter's not there. It's vegan. Everything is vegan. This is the healthiest day of my life.
So we are going to frost the cake.
Yes!
Unwrapped it, and I take my cranked spatula. It's a special spatula because it's bent. So you put a dollop on the bottom.
To secure it, I guess.
To secure it, to stop it from sliding around.
You see, what I find with baking is I'm worse at baking than I am with savoury food because it's actually like a real science.
No.
And you can't really bugger it up in the same way that you can.
Some things are. But
this is the top.
Yeah.
So we all know that sugar is a poison. You know, like nobody should be eating it anymore. It's really terrible. And you host cake classes involving a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that people who come to your class are sound of mind?
I think they are the greatest type of people because they've learned moderation.
Yeah. There's going to be no moderation today, by the way. I'm going to eat this whole cake and then I'm going to sue you for sugar poisoning. I'm going to eat so much I get sectioned. That's what's going to happen.
And it is only a 6-inch cake, which is our smallest size. And we all know smaller portions is what we should be aiming for.
Exactly. It's all about portion control.
Indeed.
So, obviously, my GCSE French is top-notch, and I know that ange de sucre means angels of sugar, or sugar angels.
You've got your pronunciation on point. Ange de sucre, with the coughing sound, the light cough in the end.
I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty proud of that. So, do you consider yourself a guardian angel of sugar?
I think I am the guardian of the gateway to sugar. And we all know that sugar kills, so however, you go through eating, you mix sugar with butter and egg white and all the things that are good for you, then you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you...
Everything in balance.
That is everything in balance.
Because no one wants to sit there eating a tub of sugar anyway. Why would you do that?
No. I love that you referred to yourself as, like, the gateway to hell. I was like, I'm just imagining... You're Hades. You are Hades with the sugar wand.
Indeedy-do. The fairy with the sugar wand.
God, I mean...
And the tub of butter.
It is just delicious, though, isn't it? Like, cake is fantastic. And the people who demonise cake, or the people who think that vegetables in cake are cake, apart from carrot cake, which is nice, they really need to, like, reevaluate themselves.
Well, also, because I think I'm a closet yogi. because not just because of my culture, where I'm originally Indian, but one of my gods, or our gods, he's a big butter man, Krishna. He freaking loves butter. If you see artistic depictions of the god Krishna, he's got like tubs of butter around him, like big butter pots, freshly churned. And he used to go steal butter as well.
What a guy.
He's a dude. So butter had this bad rap, and now sugar has this bad rap. And before butter, actually, ghee used to have this bad rap, but now ghee's becoming trendy.
Oh yeah, ghee's really trendy.
Ghee is good.
Yeah.
Ghee is good. Do you want a spoon of ghee?
Yeah, go on.
Where's my ghee?
A spoon of anything is always going to be a yes in this kitchen.
A massive tub of ghee. Oh, there it is. Pure butter ghee.
Oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is the best cupboard ever. So you've got purse pigs, you've got...
Oh, that's my QAT crisps.
Yeah, they're like... You know, foreign what's it?
Yeah, they are. They're spicy what's it.
Oh, how delicious.
My friend brings them over from Q8.
Well, your friend is a very good friend.
She is.
you would survive sort of a nuclear holocaust because of your spicy what's it collection.
About 8 more of these big sacks, so I'm sorted. Right, so the key to a delicious, deliciously stellar cake.
Yeah.
Is loads of this deliciously smooth chocolate Oreo buttercream.
Oh, goodness, it's so good.
Oh, and obviously I put a bit of Nutella in it because, you know, nuts are good for you.
Nut butter, as I like to call it, is brilliant.
So, to achieve the smooth top,
yeah.
This is where your cranked bit comes handy. If you hold your spatula like that and then go like this from side to side.
Just smooth it out.
Just smooth it out and even it out so you get straight...
I mean, it looks beautiful. I cannot wait to eat it.
And we all know height looks good, so pile that on.
Okay.
Because, you know, supermodels are really tall.
Supermodels are really tall. This is the supermodel of the cakes. That's why it's named after me, because I'm so gorgeous.
It is bulging a bit on the side. Yeah! Look at that! Smooth it out.
God, it's so good. I can't wait to eat it. How's that looking?
It's looking good.
Yeah?
It's looking very good. It's looking a bit... Yeah.
I'm not known for my eyes.
So, right, we need to cover this naked cake.
Okay.
Now, there are two ways to frost a cake. You can go fully clothed and covered, which is classy, or you could be grubby but sexy and go for, like, a semi-naked look.
I'm grubby and sexy.
Let's do grubby and sexy.
I'm definitely grubby and sexy.
And then get as much on there as possible and fill up all, like, little crevices and nooks and crannies.
Okay.
I hate the word crevice.
Crevice.
I also hate the word moist.
Yeah, moist is a terrible word.
I hate it. It's the world's most hated word.
Yeah, it is. It's really rank.
And sadly, there is no...
There's no way of getting around.
Yeah. You can't call it a damp cake. You can't say a wet cake. You can't... Soggy cake. You can't say any of that. You have to say moist.
Moist.
An
old man saying moist.
Yeah.
I haven't heard an old man say moist for a while, actually.
You just sounded like one then.
Did I?
Yeah, the way you said it.
Moist. Yeah, I have this like thing where my face sometimes looks like a sort of dirty old grandpa.
It does not.
It does. It happens
when
sometimes.
When are these sometimes?
So, okay, basically, when I have a photo taken, I have this like twitch where my eye closes slightly. So I look
That's
ever
so... That's a lazy eye. That's what Kate Moss has.
I look ever so slightly leery, so I'm like...
That's a lazy eye.
Yeah.
It's coveted.
I'm very, very glad that Kate Moss is the first person that came to mind when talking about my lazy eye.
We had a pop-up in Selfridges, didn't you?
We're still there.
In Selfridges. Yeah, we're supplying Selfridges.
Oh, that's cool.
The Deliciously Stellar cake is one of the best sellers at Selfridges.
Ooh, I'm there so fashion.
Yeah. Right, so the next bit
is the
hard bit, which is glazing.
Okay.
It's proper technical.
Right.
The glaze needs to go on, and then all the decorations need to go on really quickly.
Okay.
Because it needs to set.
Big tub of glaze, got brownies at the back.
Kinder Bueno, my chocolate of choice.
They're all off-cut brownies. Oh, I love Kinder Bueno.
I really love them. They're one of my favourites.
They're healthy.
Yeah, they're light as air, again.
They're light as air, again, hazelnut. Milk and hazelnuts.
That sounds like... dinner to me.
Right, so we've got all this stuff here.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go mad.
Okay.
And I've got these crack pearls. I call them crack pearls. They're healthier than crack. Bonus.
I always think to myself when I've eaten a lot, it could have been crack. At least I'm not addicted to crystal meth.
So here we go. I'm going to spread it. And then using the edge of my spoon, just try and encourage it over the edge.
A nice drizzle of glaze.
Yeah. There we go. That's done.
Beautiful.
And now I'm going to go mental. So I'll take a...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Brownie, I'll crumble it. It's where my crack pearls. There they are. These vegan cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Oreos, vegan. Excellent.
Then I just do that. With Kinder Buenos. And then there's my other one.
Hello.
And then I'll get some Milky Bar. And some teasers. And some Rolos.
How sad would it be to decide to eat clean and know that you would never eat a chocolate finger ever again? Mm. How is that a life?
Oh, Kit Kats. Looks kind of like a skyline.
It does, doesn't it?
Crumbling skyline.
The shard?
The shard. That looks nice.
See?
Very artful.
I'm super artful.
The artful dodger.
I am the artful dodger. I can't actually believe how amazing this looks. Well, I think that my work here is done. Thank you so much, Reshmi, for getting me to actually build this.
I think you've excelled yourself.
I'm not going to lie.
I think that is one of the most beautiful, delicious Estellas I've seen.
This is genuinely the best cake I've ever made, for sure.
Is it?
Mm, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, and I've made all the cakes in Australian Women's Weekly. the greatest cake cookbook of all time. This is so cool. So if people want to come out and buy the Delicious Estella cake, they can buy it in Selfridges.
They can buy it in Selfridges. They can pop on our website as well. And we can personalise it and you can get it in loads of different sizes. We've done a 3-tiered Deliciously Stella cake that went to Annabelle's club.
Stop it! I'm so classy!
Yeah, I'd never heard of Annabelle's club until I started reading the Daily Mail a couple of weeks ago. And it's every day.
Yeah.
Someone's stumbling out of Annabelle's.
Mm.
Well, this Deliciously Stella stumbled into Annabelle's.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I would imagine that this has given me the glow.
You are glowing.
Thank you.
That is the best lazy eye glowing look I've ever seen.
Here's another slightly random anecdote from my life. When I was 8, I got sent to a boarding school because, when your parents start to hear sort of a hint of a Scottish accent where I'm from, they pack you off to have it beaten out of you. And I went to one of the most bizarre prep schools of all time. It's since shut down because they couldn't afford to feed us on Sundays. But there were about 30 girls all packed into this massive mansion house. And we were all completely feral, and it was so backwards. Remember the first day when I arrived, the inspectors came round from Ofsted, and they were just like, A, you can't throw the girls in ice-cold baths on their birthdays, because that's not a treat. B, the open fires in the dormitories might need to go. I essentially went to Hogwarts. We all used to take our ponies and we used to take our pets. And at the weekends, we'd have gymkhanas. And in the night, we'd just get up and roam around this terrifying haunted house. The teachers were all incredibly eccentric. We had this matron called Miss Deck. And every morning, she would get up in front of us with her teeth out. And she'd go, "I'm just fed to the bark teeth of this."
And she was absolutely terrifying and obsessed with Runrig, which is this like Christian rock band. And she'd make us like go to Christian camp. Like, I'm really not religious. And I would end up in some weird house in Perthshire with loads of other kids listening to a man with a guitar, like singing about Jesus and playing frisbee golf. My parents knew nothing of this. On Halloween, they used to line us up, they'd tie our hands behind our backs, and they'd throw pancakes dipped in black treacle at our faces for us to catch, which obviously meant that I just had, like, treacle in my hair, treacle all over my body. I'd then get berated for having got treacle on my white Airtex, even though my matron had, like, lobbed it at me. It was one of the strangest places on earth. Wonderful, because I was basically the Beast of Bodmin Moor till I was 13, but, like, incredibly strange. I am here with Lily Bailey, model and journalist. Lily, when you look at Instagram and you see all of these girls, what is your thoughts?
Well, it's sort of, it's quite funny because on one level I'm like, oh, for God's sake, just this is just too much. Your whole, like, rows of hashtags like eat clean and all this and these sort of smug people taking their bikini pictures on the beach and going on about what they had for lunch. But at the same time, I'm a model and I promote myself on Instagram because I get work through that. So I guess there is a level of hypocrisy going on there. But for me, I think the smugness of it, it does annoy me.
Yeah, well, like, I often think that in some ways I'm quite similar to them in the way that I promote myself on Instagram. I'm doing something different, but, you know, I'm doing it for the likes and I make a career out of it. And in that way, it's very similar. I mean, obviously, I look revolting all of the time, so it's slightly different. But I do also feel, as I'm a sort of middle-class white woman, I'm just another middle-class white woman telling you how to eat. So I haven't really opened up the conversation that much.
Well, I mean, I'm also a middle-class white woman, and I really relate to sort of the double standard of it all. Like, I've got a sister who had a vegan Instagram account, and she would do the whole, you know, spending ages taking pictures of perfect food. And actually, she got a real pleasure from that, and it was something she enjoyed doing. But in the end, she stopped because she couldn't deal with just sort of appearing to be this sort of smug, glowing person when actually life isn't like that. Life isn't like an Instagram feed of perfect pictures of your what you had for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Most of her meals didn't look like that. And she just ended up thinking, it's not real.
I mean, I just kind of feel like, how can people constantly be walking past pastel houses, cherry blossoms, and eating lovely salads? So I'm just like, that can't just be what your day is about. It's not. And there's so much sort of filler. And I understand that you want to take the picture of the best part of your life. But, you know, some of them are really, really lucky. And, you know, they've had a lot of money behind them. And, you know, they've been very, very pretty. And they've been lucky enough to get these book deals. And it's all amazing. And it is, I guess, in a way, it's just a bit smug. It's like, you know, my life's going really, really wonderfully well. And everyone's isn't.
Well, I think that's probably why your Instagram has had so much success, because people are fed up. We don't want to access social media to see something that makes us feel rubbish about our lives. I'm not posting pictures of my food because that would be like, you'd just see like rows and rows of pictures of giant Aero and McDonald's fries and like, you know, my agency probably wouldn't like it very much. But I am posting the airbrush pictures of me that have been taken on sheets, and that's not, I don't get out of bed looking like that. I try to balance it with a selection of images of what I really look like.
Yeah, I mean, hashtag I woke up like this. I'm like, stop it, Beyonce. No, I know you're Beyonce, but you didn't. People will do it. And I'm like, I can see you've got fake eyelashes on. Like, who sleeps in those? They're so uncomfortable. I can't even wear them in the day because my eyes are just like drooping everywhere and I look retarded. So what I wanted to ask you is, like, what do you think comparing ourselves to each other on social media is doing for, like, us as a sort of a generation? Like, do you think that it's affecting perhaps elements of our mental health? Do you think it's encouraging people to sort of feel down about themselves?
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword. In some ways, I think social media is great for mental health because you can do a lot of awareness campaigns and people can share what's happening in their life honestly and just sort of saying, you know, it's not always that great. However, you get FOMO when you start looking at people's feeds and it's amazing and you're thinking, oh God, every picture of her, she's in a different part of the Caribbean and she's getting paid to do it. My life's not that good. That's depressing. I'm never going to be that good or that successful doing something that's so fun or whatever. Because social media is, by default, most people are going to want to post the highlights of their life. because you don't want to take a picture of yourself on the toilet, because that's and just post it being like, this is what I look like when I do a poo, because that's not a highlight.
Yeah, also, like, that's an overshare.
Yeah,
I mean, I am the queen of the overshare. Like, I've got no problem. I'll literally walk in somewhere and I'll just tell them every single part of my day, and they're like, gross.
Well, I had a puppy. Well, I didn't actually literally have the puppy, but he's called Rocky, and he's lovely. And when he did his first poo in the garden, I took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook, being like, Rocky's done his first poo in the garden, hashtag proud mom, hashtag keep going, baby. And I was joking about it because my feed is filled with mums posting stuff on their Facebook like, oh, we've had a rough week with Daniel. He's had a really bad tummy, but he's done his first solid poo and things are on the up. And it's just too much. So anyway, I posted this sort of taking a mic.
Yeah.
And actually quite a lot of people thought it was real. Comments being like, oh, well done.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's ridiculous. I've got this problem now where I'm 28 and I'm sort of reaching that point where a lot of my friends are starting to get engaged. And every time I open up my laptop, it's like, I said yes. And everyone's just like beaming with a ring. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, can everybody fuck off and stop getting engaged so I can die alone in peace. So obviously you're a model, you work in the modelling industry. To lots of people, that seems like, you know, it's an incredibly glamorous, wonderful, constantly ideal life. But I'm guessing it's pretty different. I know from my friends who are models, you get poked and prodded a lot. You know, you get told that you're not good enough a lot. Like, what do you feel about it?
Well, firstly, it's really not that glamorous. I've come here from a shoot this morning where I had to change in a public toilet in Ravenscourt Park. And that is quite a standard thing. Your models change in the weirdest places. I've changed in a bush, in the backs of cars. Like, it's really not this sort of glamorous airbrushed life. And yes, you're poked and prodded, and you're just treated like an object, really. Like, I had to be body painted as a robot to represent the over sexualization of women in the music industry. And I was this silver robot, and I'd be sitting on a chair, and then I felt this weird, just like sort of tickling, and they were painting my ass, and they hadn't even asked me. And so it's a bit weird. It's not all rainbows and sunshine. Obviously, then you sort of think, why do you do it? Well, I do it because I'm primarily a writer, and writing is a bit of a lifestyle choice. And most people who are writers have other jobs too. And I model for the money to sort of tide myself over. But I then do quite a lot of more creative shoots, which I do because actually that's just really good fun. So there are reasons to do modelling. It's not all sort of horrible and stressful. However, there are things about the industry that make you think, this is ridiculous. And then I sort of say, well, I could just leave. I don't have to do it. But then I feel like you're leaving it, but you're not changing it in any way. So I'd rather be there and try and do something about it. I don't think modelling should be made up of size 4 women, but I don't think it should be made up of size 22 women either. I think it should be made up of women who look like women, but I'm never, ever going to lose weight for a picture.
Have you ever eaten chia pudding?
Oh my God, yes. My sister, my vegan sister, she made me eat chia pudding, and it's disgusting. It's like eating ovaries, or what I imagine it would be like to eat ovaries. I don't know, because I'm a vegetarian, so that would be wrong for me to do that. But it's all slimy. Oh God, no, no, no.
I mean, I thought it tasted like frog spawn, but ovaries is a really excellent analogy.
Do you know what I also hate? Tofu. What is with tofu? It's like eating raw flesh.
Yeah, tofu is disgusting. It's sort of like there's something really unnatural, sort of gelatinous and a bit fishy. It's not good. So do you think that as a model in your modelling world, is everyone like a clean eater? Do people eat unhealthily?
I feel like there are kind of three types of models. There's the models who have been skinny their whole life and have quite a boyish figure and have a fast metabolism, and they tend to eat really unhealthily and not really think about it. I'm probably that type of model. And then the two other types is the type that really focus on this kind of clean eating, and they juice everything that they see, and they'll sort of eat a handful of couscous and that will be them done. And all of these fads that sort of come and go, they'll be taking note of. They're cutting out sugar, they're saying they're gluten intolerant and all this.
My granny is actually a celiac. God bless her, she passed away, but it resulted in her actually getting incredibly fat because all she ate was gluten-free biscuits.
Oh dear.
And to get gluten out of something, you have to pump it full of sugar to make it gluten-free. And my God, I mean, the woman could not cook. She made me pasta and ketchup every time I went round.
That's a great meal.
I mean, it is a great meal. But honestly, she would literally just fall asleep on the sofa. She looked a bit like Mrs. Tiggywinkle. She was as wide as she was tall, with just sort of like gluten-free biscuit crumbs just rolling down her top.
Okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. They're gluten-free probably is a thing.
Oh, I know, but 1% of the population are gluten intolerant.
Yeah, everyone seems to be gluten... a lot of models I work with seem to be gluten intolerant, and I'm like, you can't all be gluten intolerant. Anyway, so there's that kind. And then there's the other kind who just don't eat anything at all, and that is really sad to see. After a day shooting, I just want to sit down and stuff my face with crisps and drink wine. And then all these other models, they go off to the gym. And that makes me feel kind of guilty, but not guilty enough to actually do something about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's my never style. It's never going to be for me. I just love wine so much.
I love wine.
I literally just love all the wine, all of the wine and all of the fun. And like, without that, who am I? Well, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for listening again to the Deliciously Stellar podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and follow me on Instagram. See you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.